Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis. We ended last week with, we saw in the background was Achia Hashiloni's appointment of Yerovam as the king of the breakaway kingdom of Israel due to the faults of Shlomo, or the house of David. Now, against that background, we had Rechabam, the son of Shlomo, took the throne, and the people came to him basically demanding reforms. Demanding reforms, demanding easing the taxes, according to the Malbim, also demanding in general a more broader government situation, less of a autocracy. So, as we discussed last week, here we had Chazal laid down that fundamental principle of Stira's came in Binyan Aron Stira. Rechavam went and consulted with Shlomo's advisors. He knew what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear a man as great as you doesn't have to bend on anything. A man as great as you should have iron control. And nobody can challenge that. That's what he wanted to hear. But Shlomo's old wise advisors did not deliver the goods. Right? They said, it's a good idea for you to lower your head. It's a good idea for you to take it slowly. But that wasn't what he was looking for. So, what he did was, he went to the people who had a better handle on it. His good friends. The younger ones. Had a better handle on what's going on now. Had a better handle on him. And what also helped was the fact that he had brought these people to power. So they were very much attuned to what would please him and what would he want to hear. And it was a very good mutual relationship. He knew what he wanted to hear. He knew how good he'd get it from. They knew what he wanted to hear, and they provided the goods. And they said, no, a man like you shouldn't fence. You tell them. You think my father was great. You think Shlomo was great. My little toe is greater than his waist. Okay. So this is what happened. So he had told the people, come back in 3 days. Right? So Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayavai. Or the? You're right. There are different mepharshim say different things. Some say he meant it in terms of the harshness. The way he put it was, if my father hit you with sticks, I'm going to hit you with thorn. Right. But others say that no, he meant to say. Malvin said that right, part of their title was someone of Shlomo's prestige. It was justified, you know, the demands you laid on us. But you're not. He's coming and saying, "Are you kidding? Shlomo is prestigious. Wait till you see who I am. You guys just don't know me. And Shlomo can't hold a candle to me." That's how some explain it. Okay. So now, whatever it is, here is. That's his consultation with his chevra. And he had told the people to come back in 3 days. Vayava Yerovam v'cholam. So Yerovam and all the people came back el Rechavam b'yom ha'shlishi, on the third day. Kasher dibar ha'melech v'emar, the king has spoken, saying, shuvu elai b'yom ha'shlishi, come back to me on the third day. Vayan ha'melech Esa'am Kasha. And he responded to the people harshly. And he forsook the counsel of the elders, the eitzah that they had given him. And he spoke to them as the young kids had counseled him. Lema. He said, you thought that my father placed a heavy yoke on you. I'm going to add more weight to that yoke. Got to show that it was false right from the start. My father hit you with switches. I'm going to beat you with thorns, sticks with thorns on them. And he did not regard the people, no regard for the people's request. This was Hashem's way of orchestrating in order to fulfill his word. But Hashem spoke through Achia Ashulaini of Yerovam ben Nebat. To Yerovam ben Nebat saying, the kingdom will split apart and you will reign over the breakaway kingdom. The Moshe David Bali adds the word simply translated that means this was an orchestration of Hashem. He says Siba really literally means to circle. I will use the word Siba in modern Hebrew as a reason because one thing that brings about another. Really Siba means to circle. So he says, "Hey, so Siva Meir Hashem." He says this to be understood very literally. The Shekhinah is in our world, hovering or circling until it finds an appropriate place to rest on. The king, we already know, the king carries the Shekhinah on him. We already know, right? The king has a special presence of the Shekhinah upon him. We saw that with David, with Shaul. Okay, so it says Siva Mein Hashem means that the Shekhinah resumed its circling. It had left the Rechavim, and it was circling, and it now came around to Yerovam. Yerovam was now the one who carried the special presence of the Shekhinah that he had. Because he was the one who was found worthy of it. Who was that special individual who should be singled out as the one who will epitomize, who will carry the Ashras HaShekhinah of Klal Yisrael? That name was Yerovam ben Nebat. Because, as we said the other week, indeed, he wasn't the Yerovam ben Nebat that we know by today at this point. Like Chazal say about him, Lo'yhoysa b'teyose shum doiti. He was a very great man, a man of sterling record. Even though we already discussed, perhaps the roots of the problems were already settled in, but they certainly had not started sprouting at all. This was a pious man, a little overly ambitious, perhaps, but we also contrasted him with David HaMelech. But the fact that a person is not a David HaMelech doesn't exactly completely put him to shame, yeah? If that's all that could be said about us, that we're not a David HaMelech, we'd be pretty okay. See, Yerovam was no David HaMelech, but he was a very, very great person. And therefore, he was the one deemed, this is the right address of the Shekhinah now. So now, Bayar called Yisrael, and all of Yisrael saw Kivashama HaMelech Aleh, that the king did not listen to them. Meaning, Malvim says like this, the truth is that the elders, the council of the elders also, the elders were really telling him, they were trying to get into the same place as his youthful friends were. The elders also were trying to help him consolidate his kingdom in an absolute way. If you remember, on the contrary, right, the Malbim said that the elders had said, by being very forthcoming and by going the extra mile to show the people how, on the contrary, you're only there to accommodate them, you'll be able to not only will you have the cooperation, you'll also be able to circumvent them making contracts with you. And then later, you'll be able to completely consolidate the reign. Do things slowly, do things with faithful, operate, you know, prudently, right? They also intended for him ultimately to become the autocrat he wanted to be. Okay? So, had he accepted their counsel, it's possible there might have been some of the wise men of the nation who would have said, we can see through, we can see what's going on. But no, that wouldn't have been enough. The people would have been happy with his response and he would have been able to maintain the reign. But by following the counsel of his friends, so the Malbim says that's why the pasuk stresses. Vayar kol Yisrael tirei shom alechaleihem. By following the counsel of his friends, he made it very clear, it was plain for all to see, that he has absolutely no regard for the requests of the people. Every last person was able to see it. He advertised his lack of regard for the people, and that's what did him in.
So
the people responded to the king, saying, "Malanu chelek b'David. What share do we have in David? We have no inheritance in Ben Yishai. Everybody go home. We are abandoning. Up till now, we're all camped around the kingship of David HaMelech. Everybody go home. We're going to let this disintegrate. Here, David, now see what kind of house you're going to have left." And all of Israel went back to their homes. Meaning they now were departing from the authority of Beis David. However, the people who were still who were living in the cities of Yehuda, the Yehuda territory, Rechavam did rule over them. Now, so where do things stand at this point? It's important to note this. The Malbim says there was only one king in Klal Yisrael now. Not everybody accepted him, right? But there was only one king. Yehuda accepted Rechavam as their king. The others, right now, they weren't organized in any way. Theoretically, had he left it at that at this point, things still might not have been lost. Okay? Give it a little time, let things cool, and then slowly again, bring it under control. But no, he couldn't sit back. He couldn't sit back. He had answered his fans, and therefore, what happened next? Instead of saying, "All right, you know the climate is not very good right now," sit back, let things develop slowly, let things cool. No, right away he sends as Adoram Asher Hamas. Adoram. This was the official of the taxes of the Shlomo's rule. So he sent him off. He wanted to assert his authority. You guys think that you're free from my rule? This is Adoram coming to collect the taxes. By Yehugim will call Yisrael by oven, and they stoned him by Amoy, and he died. By Melech Rechavam, now he already understood that it's dangerous. He said, "It'll all take place in Shechem." Right? Shechem was actually in the territory of Yosef. He wasn't on his home turf. Now, when he saw this happen, he understood that no, Klal Yisrael really has an infant. He had to flee now. And this really is what perpetuated the split. As we said, up till now, things were kind of left hanging. But as soon as this happened, he sent that tax collector. They killed the tax collector. This perpetuated the split. This is what made it final. Therefore, Vayishu Yisrael the Beis David Adayon Mazer. What's that? Oh, everybody. I don't know. Interesting. Presumably it wasn't all of Yisrael. What? Everybody was okay with it. Everybody was a part of what was going on. If they weren't actually throwing the stones, apparently, if he did the same, it represented the spirit of everybody. Makes sense. H.L.A.F. is out there, right. Okay.
I'm not saying that happened. Your open was attached to the two, they liked him. It was the attitude of the tax collector.
Ah, very good, very good. Stan is pointing out that Yerobam himself had been a tax collector. So the truth is that, first of all, just on a simpler level, Adoniram was now coming basically to force Rechavam's rule on them. Right? And number two is actually a deeper point to what you just touched on, a deeper point. Ramosha David Bali says this. He says that this Adoniram, like you're saying, apparently had gained himself a reputation. Meaning it wasn't just that the Chavim's representative was coming, but this was the guy who always waved the red flag. This was the guy who imposed himself. You all know, right? You have the policeman or the official. You have the one who knows how to act like a mensch, and then you have the one who just wants you to know that he's boss. Everybody already knew this Adoniram, and And Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says we must assume that if this happened with him, he deserved it. He deserved it. He really just went there to collect what was coming. What was coming to him. Now, Vayivshu Yisrael b'Vistavi d'Arayim Hazeh. So this perpetuated the rebellion. They rebelled against Beis David until this very day. Now, Chazal makes a strong statement here, and they say that by doing this, they overthrew Malchus Beis David, and at the same time, they overthrew Malchus Shamayim. Overthrew Malchus Shamayim. In other words, Klal Yisrael is criticized for what happened here. Now, this is something that we have to bring together, because we are seeing that Hashem was the one who orchestrated this. Hashem appointed Yerovam, and at this point, Yerovam was in better standing with Hashem than Rechavam was, than Beis David was. Right? Yerovam was, so to speak, where Hashem was putting his hopes now for the correct leadership of the Jewish people. So how are we, on the one hand, saying that this was a process that Hashem was guiding, while on the other hand, we're saying the Jewish people are being blamed for it? So, what's that? So the question is, so did they not know that Yerovam had been designated by Hashem to become king? Oh, so it sounds like this. So the question of the valley is something very interesting. Something very interesting. He said, actually, this was a pious process. Yerovam taking over was meant to be something that, yeah, represented Hashem's will. And that's what it should have been. But he says something scary. He says, but even that's stage two. He said, Lemaisa, hey, I'm going to develop it properly. He says, there was a machloikasi. There was a machloikasi, right? There's a split going on among Klal Yisrael. This is a split that's orchestrated by Hashem because this needed to happen. More than that, it's not just that Hashem wanted Yerovam to become king. Hashem wanted part of the kingship to remain under Rechavam, and part of the kingship to go over to Yerovam. Right? So it's not just that Hashem wanted Yerovam to take over. Hashem wanted there to be this split in Klal Yisrael. Hashem is orchestrating this split. But when Moshe Rabbeinu Bali says something amazing, inevitably, when there's machlokes, when there's a split, there's God that comes with ruach tovah. Machlokes involves ruach tovah, and that's dangerous. It's a spiritual jeopardy. Now, does that necessarily mean that it has to play out bad? Not necessarily. If everybody involved in the machlokes is able to keep their head on their shoulders and is able to keep their sight focused correctly, machlokes can be something that elevates both sides in their avodas Hashem. Both sides can come out successful. We might say this about certain machlokes in history. The machlokes between, okay, you know, we'll see, it comes to different levels. What's that? Beisham and Yisilah. I would even say the machlokes between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. But machlokes between the Chassidim and the Misnagdim, it's very important to realize, brought out a lot of greatness and brought out a lot of progress in both camps. But if we'll draw on that example, that was only in the higher echelon. In the lower echelons, what did it bring about? Ruination of Midas, all the ills that come along with machlokes. So he says there was that sitra achra there. There was that ruach of tumah that is there in the machlokes. That's why, by the way, the Rebbe used to say, when the elections would approach, he would say, we're headed for a spiritual minefield now, spiritual jeopardy. Now, the people naturally relate to that as meaning, like there's so much at stake in these elections, right? You have to make sure that the right person wins. No, that's not what he meant. He meant elections in and of themselves, the period of the elections is a spiritual problem. Because it is, by definition, there's all kinds of talks going on, etc., etc. And that's the type of time that you want to plug your nose, squeeze your eyes shut, and just hope that you get through it unscathed. And this is basically what we're saying now. When there's machlokes, there's tumah, and it's very easy to become contaminated. So now, what happened here? He said it was this ruach of tumah that brought to the fore the wrong feelings that some people had. What's that? What's that? And here's a very profound point. Why would people want to go along with your offer? It could be a wide range of reasons. It could be the ones who appreciate the fact that your Rabbah is representing a higher standard, and this is what Hashem wants, and they want to go with it. But there's a dynamic that's always here, threading the whole story of Malachim. And that is, it's very important to understand, that the Jewish people, the whole reality of being settled from Avodah Zarah by us, we know that we don't appreciate the whole reality of a world where Avodah Zarah is. We know that we don't appreciate that reality. But we have to appreciate that the Torah's expectation for Jewish people not being involved in Avodah Zarah was an ongoing, very intense challenge. It was requiring the Jewish people to always be pulling against gravity. It wasn't like a type of thing, we don't believe in it, and that's all. It prevailed in the world around. There was always that pull. And therefore, to go from one generation to the next and remain clean of Avodah Zarah meant always pulling against gravity, on an ongoing basis. And that's why, as we keep saying, it always crept in one way or the other. Kind of like osmosis, right? Water will get in wherever it possibly can. Right? And that's how it was with Avodah Zarah also. Wherever there was a tiny crack, it made its way in and it spread with osmosis. Which meant, the people of the ten tribes, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, righteous people,
the temple. So we may presume that it wasn't everybody in one shot. Some people, yes, as we're going to show now. Some people, yes. But, well, it's still in Yerovam locked it in. But at this point, I presume that you're referring to what Rashi says already at this point, that when they said, you know, we're dropping Beis Bava, they meant we're dropping the Beis Hamikdash also. Right. So let's see. Let's continue this point. Which means that there's always a certain tension. There's always a certain resistance. There's always that certain draw, that attraction, that pull of Avodah Zarah. And in order to be living the way Hashem wanted the Jewish people to be living, there was always that certain conflict that they had to be contending with all the time. It's like that today also in other senses. In terms of just resisting the influence of the outside world, resisting exposure to the outside world. Also something, as we said the other week, it permeates Eretz Yisrael too. Right? So there's always that certain tension. And therefore, the lower people of the nation did not mind the opportunity. That house they stood for enforcing that pull against gravity. That's what Malchus they stood for. And as we're going to move later into Malachim, right? Indeed, we're going to see how the ten tribes slowly drift in the other direction. They don't manage to maintain that pull against gravity. While Malchus Yehuda, by and large, stays firm. Malchus, the kingship of David, based David, very much represented holding on to that pull against gravity, treading, not letting go. There were certain points in history where there was a dip and then went back up. At the end, it dropped and that was that. But in a general way, Malchus Yehuda held on much better than Malchus Yisrael. Okay? So now, therefore, among the lower people, this was a constant tension, and they didn't mind a little bit of a relief. And therefore, the thought of moving away from Malchus based up, and even though right now at the time, Yerovam seemed to be the more pious of the two. He was at that time. But the idea of being free of the tension that Malchus Beis David always demanded was appealing. And this is what came to the fore. There was at least an element. We definitely will not say, at least at this point, that this is what all of the people were about. But there was that element, and that's what you're referring to. There was that element of the people who, the reason that they were happy about what was going on, was because they were going to be free of that tension, of that pull against gravity that they started always required. So Rav Moshe Zalman Vali says that that was the process here. This was something that was deep down. Nobody could come out and say something like that, right? But the Ruach HaTovah of the Machlokes, and those who are not involved, again, when there's a situation of Machlokes, you have to be operating at a very high level in order to get through it unscathed, right? And those who were not at the right level, and they were sinking into the Tumah, to the contamination that the reality of Machlokes involved, it also brought to the fore those deeper down feelings, and it became a little bit more of a common spirit. There was already an element with that spirit. And this already started to see the beginning of the downslide. Actually, this brings us back again, because I can't stress enough appreciation of the dangers of Machlokes. Appreciation, as we're saying here, even of the dangers, like we often stress, the dangers of being right in the Machlokes. Okay. We move on. Vayehi kishmoya kol Yisrael. So when all the people heard, kishav Yerovam, that Yerovam had come back, vayishlichu vayikru oisai Eloheidom. They called, they brought him, they summoned him to the people, vayamlichu oisai al kol Yisrael. And they crowned him over all of Yisrael. The only ones who remained loyal to Beis David were Zulasi Shevet Yehuda Levada. Shevet Yehuda alone. Everybody's wondering, what about Binyamin? Binyamin is not mentioned right now because they're kind of like sidekick to Yehuda. So Rechavam came to Yerushalayim. And he gathered together all of Yehuda, the Sheva Binyamin, all of Binyamin, 180,000 youthful men, Hoisei Milchama, men of war, they wanted to go wage war against the rest of Israel, to bring the kingship back to its rightful place. Rechavam was the son of Shlomo. The Mepharshim bring out that they did not know at the time. Rechavam himself didn't know at the time that there was a nevuah and that there was a decree that there would be this split. They didn't know that, and therefore they were getting ready for a pious battle. This is what Hashem said. Hashem gave the kingship to Yehuda, and this is going against the will of Hashem, and they were sure that they would be successful in that. And Moshe David Vali gets into the significance of 180,000. I don't exactly understand it. Most of the Moshe David Vali is Kabbalah. But showing how 180,000 corresponds to the Koyach of Yosef. Yerovam ben Nevat was from Shevet Yosef, by the prime. 180,000 corresponds to the Koyach of Yosef. They were setting up on a Kabbalistic level also for this battle. Okay. However, the word of Hashem came to Shmaya, Navi, man of Elohim, saying, Emor el Rechavam ben Shlomo melech Yehuda. Tell Rechavam ben Shlomo the king of Yehuda, vel kol meis Yehuda, o Binyamin, tell all of Yehuda and Binyamin, v'yetzaram, and the rest of the nation, saying, who's the rest of the nation? The Parshim just noticed. Who was there besides Yehuda and Binyamin? So that's not something the Parshim said. Rabban says. I mean, Shimon. Shimon also, if you remember, they were scattered around, and especially they were kind of integrated with Yehuda. Other Mepharshim say, this is interesting, Rabban himself says this is another explanation, the Tzitzit says this, that there always was a representation of all the different Shvatim in Yerushalayim. Always was a representation. So therefore, even when the 10 tribes broke off, there did remain a representation of all the other Shvatim in Yerushalayim, which is a heartening thing to know, because that means that even today, we still have among us representation of all 12 tribes.
Okay.
Why?
Otherwise you couldn't call them
the Simeon tribe. We have Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe and Ephraim. Maybe they come to the state.
You
have to have? It's true. You're right. They were presumably Kayan and Menachanami dispersed around Far Israel then as well. Right. So he told them, Koyoma Hashem, here's what Hashem said. Loi talu veloi tilochamun himachechem b'nei Yisrael. Do not go up to fight your brethren b'nei Yisrael. Shuvu yish l'beisem. Everybody go back home. Meaning the Malbim said, okay, we'll explain momentarily. Kimei iti miyad avar hazeh. Because this was orchestrated by me. Meaning what? The Malbim says 2 points. Number one, don't fight them because you're not going to win. Okay. Don't fight them because they're not going to win. Yeah, fine. But that doesn't mean we go home. We have to stay on the defensive. We might be attacked. Right? So the Malbim says no. He also tells them, go back home. Don't fight them because you're not going to win. But you also do not have to be on the defensive. You don't have to worry about them attacking you. Why? Because this was all orchestrated by me. That's an infinity. Nothing more than this was meant to happen. There wasn't meant to be a civil war necessarily. It did develop later. But there wasn't necessarily meant to be a civil war. The split was meant to happen. It's fine. It can stop here. Don't attack them because you're not going to win. Don't even need to be on the defensive either because they're not going to attack you. This is fine. This is what's meant to be. Leave it like this. Go back home. Move on. Vayishmu is by Hashem, and they accepted the word of Hashem. Vayashuvu laleches to by Hashem. And they went back from their original plans. They went back home as Hashem had ordered. So, the Moshe Rabbeinu Bali notes that it starts off by saying, Vayhi dvar ha'elokim, the dvar of Elokim, Shem Elokim, right, which is Midas Adin, came to Shmaya saying, Koyama Hashem, here's what Hashem said. Hashem is the name of Rachel. Because what was going on here? It was the name of Elohim that caused the split. Right? This was the name of Elohim. It was Midas Adin. But the Midas Rachamim is moving in immediately to settle things at that. Right? If we're just in the name of Elohim, there's a split, and now there's a war. Right? So yes, there's this Midas Adin at work here that caused the split. But now there's the Midas Rachamim immediately coming into play and ensuring that the split will remain as is, it will remain peaceful, at least for the time being, and that will be that. Okay, we'll stop here. What's that?